Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Good Tuesday to each and every one of you. The AM Drive on a Tuesday edition, Mile High Sports, brought to you in part by our friends from Roller Auctions. Remind you to check out the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman. There is a contractor and rental yard equipment auction featuring Snap-on toolbox, tools, forklifts, livestock fencing, vehicles, hydro flasks, and much more. If that is not enticing, I don't know what is. The auction is open as we speak at rollerauction.com. Here's Sean Drotar in for Eric today. What's going on, my friend?
It's warmer, less slick of a
drive.
Better.
Yeah,
things are much better.
I mean,
you can tell you're feeling better. You have a surfing shirt on even today. So
I do.
Spring is upon us.
Yeah, surfing in the Basque region, which, by the way, I didn't do. My wife and my youngest daughter did. But it's a cool sweatshirt to wear, and it gives you some kind of street cred when you're wearing surf stuff.
Got it.
Maybe.
I couldn't surf if my life depended on it.
No, so nor would I even try. Now, you are festooned in Avalanche. You had your CU stuff yesterday.
Yes.
You go in Avalanche today. We'll get to the remarkable streak of Nathan MacKinnon sometime today. Obviously, they're getting ready to play tonight against a Montreal team that they really should handle. But down the stretch, we come with two great storylines with the Nuggets and the Avalanche. We touched upon this yesterday. Both remarkably similar in the tacks that they've taken and the storylines that they played out on. The Nuggets moved with a 128-113 win yesterday over Memphis to a one-game lead over Oklahoma City, but the Thunder have, a couple of games in hand with the Nuggets and the tiebreaker.
Right.
So this thing is just going to get more and more interesting as we go. And with that, let's get to the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
All right, Nuggets win 128-103 last night over a bad Memphis team that was bad all season long without, for the most part, Ja Morant, and now is a shadow of their former selves. So one game clear of Oklahoma City with 10 game to play. Oklahoma City does have the tiebreaker over the Thunder. So the Thunder essentially have got to finish one game ahead of Oklahoma City. We'll get to that gobbledygook in the next couple of weeks because 10 games is still more than you think it is, and a lot of things can happen when there's only one game's difference between the two teams. Nikola Jokic with 29 points, 11 rebounds, had 8 assists, played the better part of 3 minutes. Michael Malone took him out with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. But Sean, this is something we talked about just briefly yesterday. I promised it for today, so let's start with it today. It's not often that your bench play is the main talking point for a team, hockey team, basketball team, whatever. We've got headlines like Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, all starting yesterday on the injury report. But two of them didn't play, Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. did play. But I keep watching the bench and bench play because for so long this season, the prevailing question about the Nuggets was, oh my God, Bruce Brown, how are they possibly going to be able to replace Bruce Brown? Bruce Brown this, Bruce Brown that. I get it. Bruce Brown was a remarkable story last year. He provided tremendous depth, and he was a bit of a Swiss Army knife because he could do all things to all people and really guard a lot of different positions on the floor, could score, could do a lot of things. But I think the questions, if we've had them about the about this bench, are being answered pretty loudly and clearly down the stretch. Christian Brown has been a totally different kind of player, and I realize he had 17 last night as a starter. But I'm to the point now where I'm ready to go with Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Reggie Jackson as your predominant rotation for the postseason coming off the bench over Bruce Brown, Christian Brown from a year ago, and Jeff Turner. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, and you know, I'm not sure you are, because when you're talking about, and Jeff, I know you meant Jeff Green.
Jeff Green, right, not Jeff Turner, problem. Excuse me.
But you're right. But those were the three primary guys off the bench last year, at least for the majority of the season. And they kept trying to sprinkle a Zeke Nagy reminds me of the term fetch in Mean Girls. They keep trying to make it happen and it's not going to happen.
No.
But in that case, you know, that's the only overlap between the bench last year and this year. But they have not had, I don't think that anybody on the Nuggets bench is as good as Bruce Brown.
I would agree with that.
So if you're talking about in an NBA, the nature of the NBA, because the rosters are so small, the top level talent often decides. That's why we have star teams still. That's why teams like the Phoenix Suns try to assemble what they do, or sure, the Lakers try to assemble what they do. So I do think the bench as a whole has a lower ceiling simply because they don't have a Bruce Brown. But I think it has a higher floor because I do think that Watson is better than Green. And I think when you're talking about Christian Brown, I think that at the very least, Christian Brown has improved, even if it's only in increments.
Yes.
As opposed to leaps and bounds. And that's, I think, because Brown was more or less ready to go as a rookie, not that he needed to take a big leap like Watson, who was not ready and did not really earn significant minutes. So if you want to say that the bench is better, I'm not going to argue with you. I think that the difference is the ceiling for the Nuggets bench was higher last year because Brown was there, but the floor is higher now because I think the talent is better when you're talking about depth. And that doesn't get into Julian Strother, and that doesn't get into Justin Holiday, who I think is,
yeah,
got a little bit of that Swiss Army knife about him,
he does,
too.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you could make the argument. I don't think they're as smooth, but it's funny because we think about the Nuggets bench last year. The truth of the matter, it wasn't until about this time, and I'm using the air quotes here, so I have to imagine, that the Nuggets bench became the Nuggets bench. Mm-hmm. The one you saw in the playoffs last year didn't really solidify until about this time last year when they got big time minutes because the Nuggets lost 10 of their last 17.
Yeah, they really struggled.
They didn't care.
Almost
they
on
were, they
purpose.
Were, they were resting because right, they had already locked up the Western Conference. So in a certain way of looking at it, and I think it's a reasonable way, if you look at the Nuggets right now as compared to the Nuggets this same time last year, you could argue the bench is better.
Okay. Now let me take it another
step. That's stunning because we know if when healthy,
I think it is
they
too.
Have the best starting five in the league by every advanced metric,
right,
every basic metric, you name it.
I think to reach this point where you can at least make an argument or have a discussion about the bench compared to what it finished like last year is pretty remarkable because I think it was by far the biggest question that the Nuggets faced this season. That and the fact that were they going to come back with the same kind of motivation to play well and to try to chase another championship and to repeat? That has long since been taken care of, leaving us with the question of what is the bench going to look like? Now, you bring up a good point, and I want to accentuate it a bit. Bruce Brown was a rinse and repeat guy. You put him out there, you knew what you were going to get. He pretty much was the same the next time. He gave you quality minutes. He gave you high level.
He gave you starting caliber.
He gave
minutes.
You starting
on
quality
this
minutes.
This team.
That's exactly
which of course,
right.
Moving away from the Nuggets, we signed with the Pacers and then got traded.
Right.
He hasn't been able to duplicate that. And that's not a surprise. Obviously, in any situation, any sport, team fit and coaching all matter. And this was the best fit for Bruce Brown in his career.
No question.
But, yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the difference with Brown is he could fill a couple spots. He was the backup ball handler. They traded for Reggie Jackson last year. They couldn't
wasn't
get it
a factor
to work.
Down the stretch.
They couldn't get it to work. And fortunately, they had this year. That was maybe my biggest concern. Not Brown or even Watson, but would Reggie Jackson be able to step up as the backup ball handler to Jamal Murray? He's done that. But I think that the way this all shakes out is really, really promising because not only for this year's and this year's run at the finals, but you look at a jump for Julian Strother. Is that possible going into next year? It most certainly is. Can you use him in a pinch here and there? Well, he's plus 12 last night. I mean, granted, everybody on the Nuggets was because they never trailed. But that's the only question I have going into the playoffs with the Nuggets bench is because Brown was not only the best bench player of the group of the last 2 years, but the most versatile. You could play him on ones, twos, and threes. And you can play him on those roles offensively and defensively. And that's still unusual. And as versatile as Christian Brown is, he's not that guy.
So is the challenge for Michael Malone, if you believe the floor is higher and perhaps this is a deeper bench, and I'll tread lightly with my terms, is it more a question for Michael Malone of mixing and matching the various talents that you have coming off the bench at the right time, where as opposed to Bruce Brown, you pretty much knew he was going to handle it, he was pretty much going to shoot it, and he was going to be able to defend. Now do you have to be, is the challenge heightened perhaps just slightly in that you have all of that, but you got to pick the right time and the right player coming off the bench?
Maybe. I mean, last night, you know, we've seen him play in the last couple games. Otherwise, we haven't seen him play much all year, but Colin Gillespie had 7 assists to lead the team. He ended up being the backup ball handler because Christian Brown essentially started in place of Jamal Murray. So you get this mixing and matching. That's all good for the Nuggets, and I don't think they're going to have the luxury to rest guys a lot, which is why you've seen it in the last couple games with Jokic and Murray and Gordon, and I say rest, wink, wink, nod, nod, because technically there were injuries because we don't talk about load
they
management
anymore.
They were
on the injury report, Sean.
That's right.
Come
That's
on
right.
now. This, I believe everything I
this
read.
This time of the year, everyone is definitely something hurts. So you'll be able to find something. There's 72 games in. Something's sore. But you won't have many times to rest these guys down the stretch.
No.
And so there's only so many things you can do if you're Malone. That's where a deep bench is tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat Riley always said, and I might have the phrase a little bit wrong, but I play eight, you know, I believe in seven and I trust six.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it still goes. You know, most teams don't have that much depth. And then in the playoffs, you see those benches dramatically shortened to eight guys.
And that's what it's going to be for the Nuggets.
Nuggets, who's it going to be? Well, it's almost certainly going to be Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, and Peyton Watson. Is that enough in certain matchups? We've seen that Justin Holiday's been needed at times. We've seen that depending on the team, you may need another ball handler. Is that Gillespie? Do you need more size against certain teams? That's where there's a bit of a worry for the Nuggets, although I give him a ton of credit. At 35, if you only ask DeAndre Jordan to give you a dozen good minutes a night, he can do it.
He can. Absolutely. All right, so let's get to the wink, wink, nod, nod on the injury report. How fortunate was it for them to be able to play Portland and Memphis, not back-to-back, but with the day's rest in between, and then rest on either side of that? Because it essentially means that you have about almost a week's window.
Yeah, Jamal Murray gets almost a week
almost
off.
Almost a week off for Jamal Murray.
Huge, who's dealing with shin splints, and the only thing that gets better with is with rest.
That's it.
That's the only thing it gets better with.
And that's with the Suns, Timberwolves, and the Cavs coming up. So you had a really nice scheduling, I don't want to say anomaly, but you had a nice little deviation in the schedule. No back-to-back, but you were able to get some guys some rest. You were able to get Jokic off his feet. Michael Porter Jr. Was on the injury report. Obviously, he's continued
to play.
But
he only played 22 minutes last night.
He played very little last night. And Aaron Gordon got a little rest last night. To me, And I knock on wood saying this, and I really do. I'm almost to the point now with the Nuggets that I just want to get to the postseason healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Just get to the postseason
healthy. That's all that matters. Look, seeding is great. And the Nuggets' opportunity to get to the NBA Finals once more as the NBA's, at least it's the West top seed, is greatly improved. It's greatly improved for a lot of reasons. I talked about that a little bit yesterday. It's not only because the road comes through Denver. Denver's very good at home, but there's also the altitude mindset teams have to deal with. And the fact that you're playing the defending champs in their barn, and that's hard. And it's a mental hurdle for every single team. That said, would you rather have a Nuggets team dealing with injuries with the top seed, or would you rather have a healthy Nuggets team with, say, even the 3 seed?
Yes.
There's no question in my mind which I'd rather have, because I look at Oklahoma City and Minnesota, and I think Minnesota is going to give Denver trouble. But would I pick either of those in a 7-game series against a healthy Nuggets? No, I can't say I would.
So
health is really the primary objective, which is why Michael Malone a couple weeks ago said, and he admitted that maybe he said it inelegantly, that the top seed was less of a concern for him than making sure that this team was healthy when the playoffs started. And he's absolutely right to make that the top priority.
No question. All right. Nuggets continue the season coming up tomorrow. The Suns come into town, second in a 5-game stretch of home games, followed by the Timberwolves, which is, I believe, on Friday night. And the level of anticipation for that game is, for me at this point, is just off the charts. Really looking forward to it. Wish that Karl Anthony Towns was going to be available. And then don't forget, and don't sleep on the Cavs coming up on Sunday.
Oh, man. The Cavs have been one of the most overlooked teams all year. Yeah. Here they are sitting in third in the East, 44-28. You know, keep in mind, if they were out West here, you know, they'd basically be right there in the number 4 slot.
Don't forget it. Sasquatch and Wildcard Casino in Blackhawk have another incredible promotion. They're giving away $32,000 towards the purchase of a recreational vehicle from an authorized Colorado dealer, or a little over $22,000 in cash Mother's Day play weekend on May 12th. Check it out at Sasquatch and Wildcard's Casino, family-owned casino that treats you like family. A timeout right now, and when we continue, Sean Payton talked yesterday at the owners' meetings in Orlando. What did he say, and how much of that was with a wink and a nod? Drotar and Hurdle as we continue on Tuesday AM Drive right here on Mile High Sports.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Actually, it's Sean and Bruce for the next couple of days. Sean Drotar in from the afternoon drive, and glad to have him in. You can listen to he and the great Sandy Clough. Afternoons, evenings here on Mile High Sports. Eric will be back on Thursday. He is in a state of repose in Miami, Florida. Can't go wrong. So hopefully he's having a good spring break. We wish you all the best. All right, let's get to it. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
Well, Sean Payton was speaking, amongst other things, yesterday at the owners' meetings. We had the Broncos talking about new uniforms because, my God, everyone needs to be breathless about the new look and supposedly that's coming. Although, can it really be a new look if you're using the exact same paint, or not paint, but color scheme, and you're still using the same insignias? You're not going to use the D.
Don't give them ideas.
Well, I hear you.
Don't give
them.
They're not changing the orange and blue color scheme, apparently, and they're not changing the logo.
The logo.
Okay.
And my deal is with the logo, and I'll spend 30 seconds on this. I'm a D guy. I'm an old school D guy. I love the D. And it doesn't have to be with the snow-capped helmet. I mean, it doesn't have to be. But I just like that look. I don't know. I mean, I'm not being grumpy old man. Get off my porch. I'm not being off my lawn. You could be on my porch, yeah, too, I suppose.
Yeah, people have townhomes.
But, I mean, I don't know. I think we spend a little too much time on how the hell you look. I guess if you looked poorly, you'd know it.
It's the Oregonification of...
God, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It's absolutely what it is. Look, it's fine. I mean... The Broncos have won 3 Super Bowls in the uniforms that they were wearing up until last year. If you want to mess with it, that's fine. I don't really care. I think as long as you're not going away from the orange and blue.
Yeah.
I'm with you. If they were going to change the logo, you better go back to the actual original D with the Bronco in it.
Good.
But I will accept keeping it as is, as opposed to coming up with something new, because that's tricky. That's a tricky thing to do.
It is.
There's a reason that if you think of the bandwagon jumpers, let's say the bandwagon jumpers that you in any sport, right? Any sport. Think of the ones that you get, the Yankees, how often their logo changed, right? The Cubs.
The classics.
The Boston Red Sox. The Detroit Red Wings.
The St. Louis Dodgers. Cardinals.
Right, Cardinals. How many people come into games in Denver, whether it's their baseball game, hockey game, basketball game, whatever? They're Celtics, Lakers.
Yeah.
The bandwagon jumpers, the ones that remain popular, it's all the classic ones. And they're classic because you don't change them.
Right.
Or at least you don't do very much.
Isn't that the truth?
If the Broncos are just tweaking the uniform design, which all of those teams do, I think then they're on their way to that, and I give them credit for not jumping in as the new ownership and just saying, we're going to redo everything. I have no idea what the nods to the Centennial State are going to be. You know, one of the problems with trying to do that with Colorado is either you have the Colorado State flag, but Colorado, and born and raised here, love it. It's a rectangle. So when you're talking about trying to do things clever, it's not like you got like New Jersey or Florida,
right,
or Washington State or Michigan where it's immediately recognizable. It's a rectangle.
You're right.
Is it Colorado? Is it Wyoming? Is it not quite Kansas? So, I mean, you run into those spots. So I don't know what they'll do, but as long as they're keeping the color scheme, we'll know by the draft. They'll definitely unveil it by then. And I don't care. For the Broncos, it couldn't come any better because this is the worst string the Denver Broncos have had of football since they were an NFL franchise. Now we're getting close to the AFL time frame of futility. And you know what, folks? I've been saying it on my program with Sandy. I hope you don't think they're going to the playoffs this year.
Oh,
they're
going
to be worse than they were last year.
Good Lord. And we'll get to expectations in a moment. He said something yesterday, he being Sean Payton, that I thought was interesting. And we talked yesterday. This has been our buddy Jeff Legwald from ESPN.com, senior writer there, loves to describe this as the lying season in the NFL. And he's right, really, for the month that we roll up now to the draft at the end of April, you can't really believe just about anything that you hear. But I did think it was interesting that Sean Payton, when asked about the realistic possibilities of the Broncos moving up yesterday, said, and I quote, "Well, I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is what the cost is." Well, no kidding. No kidding. So if we don't know what the cost is, then I would push back and ask, how realistic is it? If you don't know the cost, then how can you possibly say it's realistic? Because I'm trying to think about what kind of currency the Broncos have at this point, and under what circumstances, and we know what they would be, they would really want to move up, especially when he chops on with the comment, one or two of these guys may make it. And he's talking about a quarterback class that could be potentially six quarterbacks deep in the first and the early part of the second round. So is this just basically some smoke and mirrors and subterfuge and having some fun at Ian Rappaport's expense, because it was Rappaport that made the initial report that there would be no way that the Broncos would move up because they don't have the capital to do it.
And Rappaport also pointed out that he wasn't worried about what the Broncos would do at quarterback because Sean Payton's one with worse quarterbacks than Jared Stidham, which, in the words of Deion Sanders, I kept receipts. And the answer is no, not really. He hasn't.
I was going to say, I mean, who exactly?
Oh, what would you like to know? I have all of it. I have every win that Sean Payton's ever had broken down by the starting quarterback.
I think he's trying to sneak through a sliver with Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston is a better quarterback than Jared Stidham.
Yes, he
better.
Is. Yes.
Teddy Bridgewater is better than Jared Stidham.
I think so, too.
Russell Wilson was better than Jared Stidham. Taysom Hill is not a quarterback. If you want to say Taysom Hill, okay. But he's also had, here's the total quarterbacks who started games for Sean Payton. Drew Brees, of course. We know about the record.
We know that one.
Russell Wilson and Taysom Hill have 7 wins apiece in their career. Russell Wilson at 15 starts is by far the second most started quarterback in Sean Payton's career with 15 starts. Bridgewater won 5, Winston won 5, Stidham won 1. So the 4 quarterbacks that you could say are worse than Stidham, Mark Brunell, probably better than Stidham anyway.
Yeah, I would think
he went 0-1. Luke McCown.
Nah.
Also 0-1, so didn't win with him, so I guess not. Ian Book, no. 0-1, didn't win with him, I don't think
so. Hey, he drafted him.
Yep.
3rd round.
That's the only rookie he's ever started, by the way, ever in an NFL game, Ian Book.
Huh.
That's the only rookie he's ever started in an NFL game, 0-1. Trevor Siemian, I would actually argue, better career than Jared Stidham, but he went 0-4 with Sean Payton. So, no, Sean Payton is not one with better quarterbacks than Jared Stidham, because Taysom Hill never even started as a quarterback. Even in the games in which he started, they didn't really line him up as a quarterback. No, that's not the case. And the question when you're talking about the idea for Broncos fans, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, whoever you get, again, Sean Payton has started a rookie one time in his career. And to use Sean Payton's own words, if confidence is proven ability, Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos should have no confidence in his ability to succeed immediately with the rookie quarterback because he's never proven that he can do it.
Nor does he want to.
Most coaches don't.
I just don't think that he's interested in that proposition whatsoever. And frankly, I don't blame him. I mean, I get it. Now, rookies that are able to come in and start, you can be a rookie that comes in and start, but can you be a rookie that comes in and start and then be successful?
Let me tell you how many times the 4th or 5th quarterback picked in a draft, by the way, ends up being that guy. We actually did the research on my show. We just went to 4th before J.J. McCarthy started his rocket ship up to at least now one of the top 4 picks. We should almost have a quarterback draft and then an NFL draft.
Well, that's oftentimes what it ends up being, right?
So, but even the 4th quarterback in the draft, out of the last, we did more than 10 years of draft. So, the 40 quarterbacks drafted. In the last 10 years, 2 you could say are successful. One's rather young, but I think we saw enough of Jordan Love to say, okay, Jordan Love can play.
Yes.
The other is Derek Carr.
But it took him.
That's it.
It took him about halfway through last season or two-thirds of the the season, and it's still a work in progress.
If he fell back after the league readjusts, would that be a shock? So really, Derek Carr. And do people look at Derek Carr and say, that's the guy that's going to lead us to the Super Bowl? He's not a bad quarterback by any
stretch. Well, he's a hell of a lot better quarterback than Jared Stidham.
Yeah, he is.
He's frankly a better quarterback. Well, is he a better quarterback now than Russell Wilson?
Today? Yes.
Not even close, is it?
No.
Probably.
But that's in the last 10 years, that's the only 4th quarterback selected in a draft that's sustained as a quality NFL quarterback. The Broncos will be looking at the 4th or the 5th, which is why, Bruce, I'm not entirely convinced the Broncos are picking a quarterback.
I'm not either. And I thought it was very interesting that he conveniently put out the information on J.J. McCarthy yesterday. You had George Payton lamenting that Sean talked about the day after pro day for the Michigan quarterback, and that the Broncos had him for 4 or 5 hours, put him through every single throw. There is nothing that isn't purposeful for Sean Payton. So what does he gain by putting that out there? Because normally that's something that you play close to the vest. You're not talking about, well, we went and worked him out for four, put him through every single throw. Never mentioned any other quarterback, but mentioned J.J. McCarthy. I just love the whole spy stuff that goes on this time of the year in the NFL. But there's obviously some purpose to it. And I'm with you. I have said from jump, and you haven't said, told me whether you not you think they'll pick back, but I think they'll move back. I think they're looking for more picks. And if there is a quarterback that they're at least curious about, and you can get him maybe a little later in the first or even early in the second, and you want to take a flyer on him and it's only costing you one pick, fine. Then go ahead and do it. Bring someone in and maybe you catch fire with them at some point. But it does beg the question of where they look for another quarterback, unless you're just going with Jarrett Stidham.
And I don't think that's an unrealistic possibility, except for the fact that Sean Payton, yesterday when speaking, wasn't exactly flowery about Stidham.
He wasn't? No.
A guy that this time a year ago was saying we saw him as a future NFL starter.
Yeah. No, he said that he'll compete for the job. It wasn't overly effusive.
No.
At all.
That's my guy.
No, absolutely not. And that's one reason that the Broncos check in at an over-under of 5.5 wins and losses. We'll get to that as we continue. Oof. 5.5. And I will challenge you to make an argument on either side of that equation when we continue. I don't think there's much of an argument underneath it, to be honest. You might have to make one for over 5.5 at this point. That is, we continue on a Tuesday edition of the AM Drive.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
John Drosar in for Eric through tomorrow. Eric will be back on Thursday. Alex Becker, Nigel in, running the show today. We got it all going on. All right, we were talking. Sometimes the best conversations are the ones you have between segments. Alex, I'll ask you, what quarterback have I said from day one, 2 months ago, that's the best fit for Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos?
Knicks.
Who do you think the Broncos, Sean, are going to end up with? Who is the best fit for whatever description? And here's the latest one yesterday, because Sean is nothing if not consistent about describing the type of quarterback he's looking for. If you really watch our game and the completions in the framework of our game, it's about decision-making, accuracy, footwork, and the ability to improvise. I mean, every time he says something, or every time I hear Bo Nix talking, it sounds like the message is almost interchangeable.
It's Nix.
It's got to be Nix.
And it's because of the way that Nix plays. Look, Sean Payton, and this is not telling any stories out of class, Sean Payton would very much like to see if he can find a clone of Drew Brees and just play Drew Brees. Sean Payton has his offense, mm-hmm. right? His offense requires a quarterback to play like Drew Brees. As we pointed out just a little bit ago, Russell Wilson with 15 starts is by a wide margin the second most started quarterback in Sean Payton's career. He likes Drew Brees. He wishes that Drew Brees could still play. If he could clone Drew Brees, he'd just get Drew Brees.
He's busy playing pickleball right now. Leave him alone.
So you have to find a way to basically find another Drew Brees. Well, anybody who tried to find the next John Elway, the next Dan Marino, the next Joe Montana.
Still
the next
searching, aren't they?
Yeah, good luck.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's going to work. But what can you do? You can do what I think the Broncos are doing. You can look at a guy that had a 70% completion, that threw most of his passes in the intermediate and middle routes, which is where Sean Payton wants to work, can scramble a little bit.
Has some mobility.
And
throws well while moving.
And throws well while moving, right? Which I do not believe J.J. McCarthy does. So Nick seems to be the guy, for me, he's the only one, at least in the first two rounds of the draft, that looks like he plays Sean Payton ball. And there is no more important thing in the Justin Fields availability, which, you know, for nothing, basically for free, shows that there is nothing more important to the Broncos and Sean Payton than getting a quarterback that plays Sean Payton ball. Sean Payton is not going to adjust his offense. He didn't adjust it for Russell Wilson. Estrotar on social, if you'd like to come at me, I've been batting that away for about 10 months now.
Right.
Continue doing it like Mutombo does to sixth graders. But
do Sean you wag Payton, the finger too?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
a boy. Good yeah, for
I,
you.
I need to make a gif of that so I can.
Yes,
do,
you do.
No. People want you right.
Absolutely.
Sean Payton isn't going to alter his offense for anybody. You're going to play Sean Payton's ideas. You run the play as called on time. Don't improvise. There's no plan B. You're going plan A, to paraphrase John Elway.
Yep.
And that's Sean Payton's play call. Bo Nix is the only guy in the first two or three rounds that would be that. And as a result, that's the guy the Broncos are going after, or they're not going after a quarterback at all. Or they will go with Jared Stidham, sign a Ryan Tannehill or something like that in the late process and just say, that's how we're rolling, and then pick in the top three in next year's draft, of which one of those will not be. So can we nip that in the bud too? Stop the stink for Shadur. One, Shadur Sanders, who plays almost precisely the same kind of football as a young Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no kidding,
is not
right?
A Sean Payton guy. And beyond that, apparently Dion wouldn't let him play here anyway.
Well, that might be.
However, that's going to work.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So move on from that, everybody, too. Yeah.
All right, so with that in mind, quickly, Bet Online has its NFL win totals out for 2024. Not surprisingly, to me at any rate, Chiefs, 49ers, and Ravens are all at 11.5. That's your over-under. Equally as unsurprising, the Broncos are on the other end of the equation, checking in at 5.5. Only the Patriots and Panthers at 4.5 have worse odds. So, Sean, as we sit here today, can you make an argument for the over based on Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci in your quarterback room?
They haven't beaten the Raiders in the 2020s, right?
That is correct,
okay.
Sir.
They beat the Chiefs once. And the quarterback they beat the Chiefs with got drummed out of the building. The Chargers should be a lot better with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. The Broncos could lose all six of their games in the AFC West. Probably should count at five losses to be conservative.
Yeah, I'm with you. 1-5 maybe in the West.
The AFC quarterbacking situation is ridiculously talented. You'd have to find... To get to six, you'd have to stay completely healthy while other teams did not.
Right.
Specifically in the AFC West. Otherwise, I actually think I have him at the moment because, you know, we'll get into the excitement of the NFL schedule release, which is merely the order in which we'll play the teams in which they already know we're playing.
Right.
So it's, I don't see more than five wins. For
this I don't
team.
Either.
As it stands today. No. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe all of a sudden, maybe Jim Harbaugh's absolutely legitimate about J.J. McCarthy being the best quarterback in this draft.
Boy, he sure likes
because
to spew it,
he can certainly move up. All he has to do is trade Justin Herbert, and I guarantee you can go up there and get J.J. McCarthy, and maybe the Broncos end up with Justin Herbert and switch it. But short of...
Boy, that'd be fun.
Cats and dogs living together, pigs flying. No, the Broncos aren't going to win more than five games as it stands today.
How would Justin Herbert and Sean Payton work together?
Slightly different personality types, but at least processing is not a problem.
I love Justin Herbert, and I make no apologies for it. I know you can quote his sub-500 record. Dude can play.
Here's the crazy part. Because I keep a sort of a running total of the rankings of quarterbacks in the AFC. I have him sixth.
Yeah.
In the AFC. And I think he's tremendous, too.
Yeah.
But I have Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and CJ Stroud ahead of him.
Wow.
And you can quibble with Stroud, but that's still puts him fifth.
But that'd be the only one you'd quibble with. That'd be it.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fifth. He's the fifth best quarterback in the conference at best.
Wow.
Think about that. At the moment, the Broncos are maybe not dead last because if they had to start a game today, Jacoby Brissett would be at New England, but I'm not sure he's worse than Jared Stidham. It's close.
All right. With that, what do we have coming up on the final word?
Five wins.
We'll discuss the NFL banishing the hip drop tackle and what is the deal with this upcoming Washington Post story surrounding LSU coach Kim Mulkey. That's next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
All right, winding our way through a Tuesday. John Drotar with yours truly. We're going to get to some Avs to start the second hour. The remarkable run that Nathan MacKinnon is on and where the Avs are right now on the top end of this scorching 9-game win streak in which they've been winning games in somewhat dangerous fashion at times. But are they starting to develop into a team now? Sean pointed this out very quickly. They have become a team now that is looking to claim the President's Cup again.
Right.
They're all of a sudden within a point or so of being the best record in the NHL for a team that kind of was not struggling with inconsistency, but battling a little inconsistency. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Time now, though, for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, the NFL has banned the hip drop tackle as the competition committee was unanimous on the decision. Many current and former NFL players voiced their displeasure to this rule change on social media, claiming it is unfair to defensive players. Do you think the hip drop tackle being banned in the NFL will cause some chaos?
I don't know about chaos. I get it. I get where defensive players and defensive-minded coaches come from. I totally understand it. They want more scoring in this league. They want more scoring. They don't want injuries. They want more scoring. I don't buy the whole, you know, flag football is next thing. The NFL will continue to market violence in the way that the NFL does it in a rather palatable fashion. I think we'll just have to learn to live without the hip check.
Yeah, where are the stars when you see advertisements for any random game, Thursday Night Football? What do you, is quarterbacks, running backs,
right,
wide receivers,
yeah,
tight ends,
yeah,
Did a lot of inside linebackers or safeties.
No, I missed or, that.
You
those.
You know where the stars are, that they're on the offense? Yeah. They'd like to see them get hurt a little bit less. No, it's not going to cause any chaos. It's going to upset some defensive players, and there will be some flags in the preseason, and after that, it's going to disappear. It's a new technique. Players haven't been using it their whole they've only been using it the last couple of years. Just go away. It was not going to be a big deal.
All right, just in case you missed it, LSU coach Kim Mulkey threatened the Washington Post with legal action over an upcoming story that is supposed to come out about her. Mulkey said, "We are not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we are trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday, and the team's not involved in this." They were in shock when they all saw that. What are your thoughts on the uncertainty around this forthcoming Washington Post story?
Well, I would imagine that it's creating a distraction for this LSU basketball team.
But they said that their players didn't know anything about it. They don't pay attention to what their coach does.
No, they don't. And nobody pays attention to
players aren't supposed to pay attention to coaches, are they?
Well, I mean...
It
depends who the coach is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I hope Kim Mulkey does sue the Washington Post. I would love to see how that plays out, because by everything that I've heard and considering the source on Kent Babb, the guy that is writing this piece, this has been an extremely well vetted piece. And you know what? I'll wait until it comes out. But I will say this, having had some experience in my days around the Baylor program when Kim Mulkey was there, I probably won't be a lot surprised about things that could potentially come out in this article.
The reporter had been working on this story and vetting over it for over 2 years.
Years.
Of which Mulkey, in her tirade, pointed out that reporter had been asking for her comments for months.
Yeah.
And then she approved and gave comments on last Tuesday.
Yep.
The reporter then asked, please have them in by Thursday. And argued that this was some sort of, sloppily put together hit job. Well, it's been 2 years.
No.
He went through all the proper channels to ask for your comments, of which you stonewalled him for months. Then you finally give the comments. Now you're worried with your comments in the story it's going to be bad. Here's the other thing. Asking former players or former assistant coaches their opinion about you is not immoral. It is not illegal, because you know who else has free speech rights? The people who worked or played for you.
Sure.
And they're allowed to have their opinions too. It's ridiculous. You want an actual clown show? I'm not talking about her wardrobe. I'm just talking about the way she runs her day-to-day game.
It will be very interesting to see how the ramifications of that piece when they come out could be potentially damaging.
I'm sure it's going to come out way more positive now, by the way.
Yeah. Don't think that that's changing. Don't think that's changing. All right. Coming up, let's get to the Avs, their winning streak, and where Nathan MacKinnon is right now, historically, at least for this franchise, as they get ready to play perhaps the most historic franchise in the NHL, the Montreal Canadiens, tonight. That as we continue here on AM Drive. We get so.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.